Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls One Planet series. The debt ceiling agreement announced by President Joe Biden and Speaker Kevin McCarthy included a surprise provision that would fast-track completion of the $6.6 billion Mountain Valley Pipeline, which will pipe fracked gas from West Virginia to Southern Virginia. Activists and those living on the front lines of this pipeline have been fighting the project for more than 10 years. People versus Fossil Fuels, a coalition of over 1,200 organizations working to end the era of fossil fuels, plans to protest the deal on June 8th at the White House. In his first Oval Office address on Friday night, President Biden said, "Passing this budget agreement was critical. The stakes could not have been higher." He did not mention the pipeline in his remarks.
And it's very good news for the American people. No one got everything they wanted, but the American people got what they needed. We averted an economic crisis, an economic collapse. We're cutting spending and bringing the deficits down at the same time. We're protecting important priorities from Social Security to Medicare to Medicaid to veterans to our transformational investments in infrastructure and clean energy.
That was President Biden speaking from the Oval Office on Friday. He signed the debt ceiling agreement on Saturday. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is a joint venture between some of the largest gas companies in Appalachia and the nation's most valuable power company, NextEra Energy. Its largest investor is Equitrans Midstream, which has a 48% ownership interest and will operate the pipeline. Construction on the project was recently stalled after federal judges found that regulatory agencies had repeatedly failed to comply with environmental laws, according to the New York Times. Inside Climate News reports that for the last 8 years, many local landowners along the pipeline's route have expressed concerns about the construction on the grounds that it is dangerous, infringes on the environmental justice rights of low-income and majority-minority communities in both states, and would impede the region's transition to renewable energy. Environmental activists were livid when they found out that the pipeline would be included in the debt ceiling agreement. So how did Democrats respond? On the Senate side, Democrats John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, and Bernie Sanders of Vermont voted against the bill. Senator Merkley said the outrageous language in the bill lets corporations write their own environmental impact statements. This agreement will limit the scope of environmental reviews for future developments. On the House side, 46 Democrats voted against the bill, including California Representatives Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, and Jared Huffman. Representative Huffman said the deal is a major step backward from the climate and environmental justice wins they delivered in the last Congress. And since Democrats got nothing on the permitting reform item they actually need, Republicans will use that as leverage to demand even more environmental rollbacks in the months ahead. Joining us to discuss the provisions in the bill and the politics behind them are three guests. Jean Hsu is Energy Director of the Climate Law Institute at the Center for Biological Diversity. Jean Hsu focuses on transforming legal structures of the U.S. power sector to achieve rapid increases in renewable and clean energy, phase out fossil fuels, and electrify transportation. Hi, Jean. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you. BJ McManama is campaign organizer for Save Our Roots with the Indigenous Environmental Network, a climate, energy, and racial justice organization, and a longtime collaborator with the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. Hi, BJ. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the facts.
We're also joined by Crystal Cavalier Keck, co-founder of Seven Directions of Service, an Indigenous-led environmental justice and community organization collective based in rural North Carolina. Crystal Cavalier Keck is a member of the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation. She's also chair of the Environmental Justice Committee for the NAACP and a board member of the Haw River Assembly. Hi, Crystal. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here on the radio. So thank you so much. And I just want to say meku in my traditional language.
Well, thank you, Crystal. I want to start off with you. As we talked about earlier, frontline activists, indigenous activists, and so many others have been fighting this pipeline for more than a decade. I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners might not be familiar with it, so we'll talk about the pipeline throughout the show. But I want to ask you, how did you respond when you found out that this pipeline would be part of the debt ceiling agreement?
I was pretty disheartened with the entire political system. we were actually watching it together as a group. So Power and Appalachian Voices and a few others, I think Gene was on there, and a few other of the bigger coalitions, they joined us on a Zoom, and we were watching both the House, and then the next day we watched the Senate, and we were just heartbroken because, you know, we were fighting it through the legal and judicial system and making sure that these regulatory agencies were held accountable for the environmental laws that these corporations were breaking. And then here comes Joe Manchin, who really attaches to any fiscal bill. And we defeated him back in September, you know, three or four times. And then he came again and added it to the debt ceiling bill. And, you know, just pushing it through and saying it's a crisis, which is, you know, a complete manufactured crisis, scaring the people, scaring the public. And we were just really heartbroken because all the work that we've done for 10 years to protect citizens in the area, the communities, the environment, they're just pulling out all these tricks to, just to get what they want. And we just was like, this is not how politics should work.
You know, Crystal, to your point, the Washington Post had a good article about what happened behind the scenes. And Maxine Josselo reports that House Republicans and their aides played a very key role in securing language in the deal to expedite the MVP's completion. This is according to people close to the talks. And then White House officials agreed to include the language to honor a promise they made to Senator Manchin last summer to secure his support for the Inflation Reduction Act. Party leaders agreed to pass a follow-up bill that would speed up the permitting process for energy infrastructure, including by expediting the Mountain Valley Project. So what are your thoughts about this reporting from the Washington Post about how this all went down?
I'm very sure that the Republicans did include that language, but it also disheartened me because the president, he could have used his power to just say no, because he came out with all of these Environmental Justice Act, like the Justice 40 initiative. He also came out with an executive order in April about climate justice and working with, you know, low economic communities, black and brown communities, making sure we get the economic environmental justice that we need. And, you know, this is not the environmental justice that we need. And he totally broke that promise to us by not allowing the review, the NEPA. He allowed NEPA rollbacks, which is not only detrimental to our community, but communities all across the United States fighting against these corporations who are extractive and going through sacrifice zones and these sacred monuments that are mostly on indigenous communities. And, you know, just really disheartening that they are allowed this language, especially a Democrat or a Democratic government, right? Like, they are supposed to be here to protect us, and they ultimately just sacrificed us, you know, so Joe Manchin could get this bill. And, you know, has Joe Manchin really upheld his end of the bargain? No, because he's keeping he's letting these regulatory agencies just get away with stuff. Like FERC, they don't do the process correctly, and we know that people cycle in and cycle out. Even his chief of staff at Joe Manchin's office is now into oil and pipeline, like he's working in oil and pipeline industry. And they learn these loopholes of how to get around the government. And then they go out and make all these big bucks while people just suffer. And it's a lot of people who are that don't know that this is happening. And we have to expose what's happening at a political level, whether the Republicans or Democrats. It is the same bird. It's two different wings, but the same bird. Mm.
BJ, what about you? How did you respond when you heard that the Mountain Valley Pipeline would be included in the debt ceiling bill?
Well, first of all, I am in the belly of the beast in one of the sacrifice zones. So we see the suffering up front. We see the damage that this extraction is doing to our lands, to our water. And so listening to Senator Manchin on Friday night plead his case on the floor of the Senate was really disheartening. One of the things that I'm not sure if people picked up on, but he was talking about Duke Energy's part in completing this MVP, because they have 4.5 million more customers that they could add if they only had more gas. Mm-hmm. Hope Gas just put out a press release the other day. Hope Gas is a Central West Virginia gas company. It's been around for a long time. They just acquired 900 miles of feeder pipes from EQT on wells that are low producing. They're about ready to be shut down. But in the statement, they also talked about finding more product, building more lines so they could add more customers and we could all heat our homes very nicely in the winter. So what people aren't kind of connecting, I think most of us do, we're just not talking about it. The MVP is going to need gas to put in that line. So that means West Virginia, southwestern Pennsylvania are going to experience an exponential increase in fracking. I watch these large trucks go up and down our roads all the time, 24/7. I see caravans after dark of these large trucks disrupting our lives, actually. They're drawing water from our creeks and our streams and our rivers. And we see what this is doing to our lands. We're rural people here. We hunt, we fish, we grow our own food. We love our neighbors. We're good to our neighbors. And the misleading statements, and I'm just going to call it as it is, the lies that Manchin feeds us here in West Virginia is intentional, because it pits neighbor against neighbor, sometimes family against family, because of this industry. Mm-hmm. So the ramifications and the consequences of what has happened hit pretty hard. I think it hit everyone hard. I'm not going to say I'm any more disappointed in this than anyone else. Mm. But I don't think people outside this, our sacrifice zones, realize what the MVP and the rollbacks on NEPA. They want to catapult us back 100 years when there were no regulations. There were no protections. West Virginia was clear cut. Coal companies came in and stole land and mineral rights. And now we're living these consequences. And I'm kind of sensing you'd like me to wrap it up.
No, so, I was actually going to ask you, BJ, you said that this sometimes pits families against each other. Can you talk about the activism that has been happening on the front lines? Because some people actually raced to the White House when they heard that this provision was going to be included in the debt ceiling. People who say this pipeline will be going through their property.
That's right. And the operative words in those situations is eminent domain, because people have fought, organic farmers, families who have had their land for generations, who live off their land. They have no recourse. These people strong arm them. They exploit them. They frighten them into giving up their land. And in the end, the courts say, you know, hit that gavel. And I'm sorry, but you just lost those precious acres and your house is only 300 feet from that pipeline. Well, that'll be too bad when something happens, because pipelines always leak there. And the issue with this pipeline is a lot of that pipe has been sitting along outside up this route uncovered. And so we're not really sure. We're pretty positive they're not going to bring in new pipe. And the one thing I really wanted to bring out too is this so-called blanket immunity that Manchin bestowed upon the pipeline companies. It can't stand. I mean, we have to cross the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, and in the annex, the appendix for the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, a contingency plan. The last paragraph really says it all because it's a difficult maneuver. There's four options for doing this, for drilling underneath, putting a 42-inch pipeline underneath the Appalachian Scenic Trail. Last sentence, last paragraph says, in summary, the primary risk for the bore site is penetrating the Tuscarora quartzite. In terms of hardness of the formation, there is also a complication given the 30-degree southeast dip of the formation underlying Peters Mountain. In terms of the bore definition, the length of the bore, approximately 600 feet, also presents a risk of completing the bore at the prescribed receiving pit. That's the last sentence before you get all the references in the pictures. Hmm. There is no plan E. So what they can't change in the middle. So we don't know what's going to happen. And that is terrifying. Not only the 3.5 miles they have to through the Jefferson National Forest with a 125-foot wide path where they're going to be digging through because they're not going to bore every stream. And they've already racked up 400 for sure. I think it's closer to 500 violations along this route already that they have, most of them have not been addressed. And the fines are, they're like a slap on the wrist. And so our confidence that even if we went through the entire permit process, this pipeline cannot be built legally. They cannot be built and not destroy precious biodiversity. We're in bad place globally, and none of us live in a bubble. We're not isolated. So what Manchin and Schumer and Biden, and Ed, that is up to him. I'm sorry. But we now know that all of the promises he made on the campaign trail were exactly that. It was just political pandering, you know, whoever he's standing in front of at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, a lot of us got together and it was our votes that put him in office. I just want to make that clear. Anyway. Is there any other questions? I'm sorry, I might have gone off track just a little
No, you're fine.
Huge issue.
No, thank you for all of that. That is BJ McNamana, campaign organizer with Save Our Roots with the Indigenous Environmental Network. We're also joined by Jean Sue, Energy Director of the Climate Law Institute for at the Center for Biological Diversity. Jean, just hearing what BJ laid out there, what are your thoughts on this? You all at the center say this deal stains Biden's legacy on climate and environmental justice.
Yeah. And, you know, BJ and Crystal have, you know, so eloquently talked about the heartbreak that is this debt ceiling deal. You know, we were in and we continue to be in a situation where the Biden administration is throwing environmental justice communities and environmental justice principles and protections under the bus. You know, the debt ceiling deal was a huge sacrifice for environmental justice communities like Crystal's that live directly in the pathway of the climate-killing Mountain Valley Pipeline. But it also rolled back, as Crystal and BJ were speaking about, significant environmental law protections that are the bedrock of this country, the ability for communities and the public to say, hey, you know, this this project is going to harm us in this type of way, and you need to rethink what's going on. These are laws on the books that have been here for decades. And the Biden administration is the first administration to open up that law on the books and basically rejigger some of the definitions that would, you know, see whether a project is subject to environmental review. We have not had that happen before. We've had regulations that have been altered, but not the law itself. And so we're in for some very troubling roads ahead in terms of what types of projects may now be immune from this environmental review. And on top of that, we know that the Biden administration and the Republicans are not stopping there. There's already been reports that there will be further rollbacks on our environmental laws, including the Clean Water Water Act. So these are all severely troubling and concerning developments that we all have to be extremely aware and vigilant about coming moving forward.
Going back to the politics, Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia, said no one told him about this project and the pipeline provision and the debt ceiling agreement. He said President Biden didn't even bother to pick up the phone to call him. He said the pipeline did not belong in the debt ceiling bill. He said it hits the poorest parts of Virginia and will take land from poor Virginians. Senator Tim Kaine introduced an amendment to strip out the provision in the debt ceiling bill, but it did not pass. Here is Senator Kaine on MSNBC saying the expedited permitting provision sets a bad precedent.
Giving a green light to one project in the United States and saying it doesn't have to go through normal permitting rules, that just opens the door to really big problems in the future. Any big corporation that is unhappy with the pace of their approvals in a regulatory environment, that's unhappy with what courts are doing, can just go to Congress and say, hey, let us bypass you. Everyday people don't get that deal. Everyday people don't get to bypass the courts and have Congress, you know, take a magic wand and give them what they want. We shouldn't do it for a wealthy company either.
That is Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia on MSNBC. Crystal, what are your thoughts on that part of the politics here, that Senator Tim Kaine says he did not even know about this provision in the debt ceiling bill?
I think it's just, that is just a lack of accountability. They wanted to hide it. And, you know, how do you not contact a senator or your House of Representatives who are in that state to say, hey, this pipeline is coming through and it's going to affect your people? Like, I just think it's bad taste. I think the president or his advisors or whoever advised the president to do this, you know, they didn't think about these consequences. They're actually only thinking about their political careers and making a name for themselves. And also the money. Like, I'm pretty sure they're getting money out of this. And I just think it's awful, right? Like, Senator Kaine, I applauded him for standing up and taking a stand and making these amendments. You know, we call that loyalty, but these other people, and I just can't believe Joe Manchin. Like, he didn't even call, I believe, our senators here in North Carolina to say, hey, you know, this is coming to affect your people at the end. You know, it's going to affect your people. And, you know, politics shouldn't be played like this. When we were learning history in high school, this is not the history that they taught us. This is not how they said politics is played. You're supposed to be able to represent your people. And Joe Manchin is making decisions for people in Virginia and North Carolina that he doesn't even represent. We don't even get to say who should be elected. But you better believe I am going to help get him unelected, because you can't make choices or life choices for people and you're not even there to be in the way of the pipeline. Like, our people are sacrificed. You know, they have air compressor stations that's going to be built that's going to affect people's lungs and children's asthma, and they're not even thinking about these consequences. They're just thinking about lining their pockets. And it's pretty bad.
Crystal, we should also just briefly talk about the Democratic senators who voted down Tim Kaine's amendment, because the politics behind this is just so important. Colin Reese from Oil Change US has a list. So these are the Democratic senators who voted down Tim Kaine's amendment to strip the Mountain Valley Pipeline from the debt ceiling bill. I'll just mention a couple. Sherrod Brown from Ohio, Bob Casey, Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, Pennsylvania, and then California's senators, Dianne Feinstein and Alex Padilla. Also, Chuck Schumer, we're going to talk about the money that he gets from big oil after a break. What are your thoughts about the Democrats who voted down this amendment?
I believe they get money from these oil and gas industries, and they're doing what's in their best interest, not what's in the best interest of the people. So they should have been worried about the NEPA aspects of it coming in their communities, you know, affecting their communities. And they obviously are playing into the pockets of these corporations who just lobby people and say, oh, hey, it's okay. And, you know, when they take these big corporate payouts, they're beholden to these people to make these decisions. And I don't think corporations should be able to come into Congress and influence people like that, because that's not the American way. That's not the way that people have taught us, but definitely not the American way. And I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party. to me, it just seems like these politicians are just corporate, you know, corporations, right? They're consultants for these corporations and not really for the people.
Hmm. Well, after the break, we'll talk more about the money behind all of this. In September of last year, Kate Aronoff of The New Republic reported that Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is the single largest recipient of campaign funds from Next Era Energy, whose pipeline project could get fast-tracked. And she's referring to the Mountain Valley Pipeline there. And then, of course, we've done a lot of shows about Joe Manchin's ties to big oil. This is Your Calls One Planet series. We'll be back after this. This is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Tomorrow, we will continue talking about the debt ceiling agreement. We'll find out how the final version will affect low-income people and those living in poverty. Last week, we did a show about how the agreement would affect people who receive food assistance. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll also continue talking about how the deal will freeze spending, cutting funding for important government programs. Today, we are talking about the provision in the bill that would fast-track completion of the $6.6 billion Mountain Valley Pipeline, which will pipe fracked gas from West Virginia to Southern Virginia. Activists and those living on the front lines have been fighting this project for more than 10 years. People versus Fossil Fuels plans to protest the deal on June 8th at the White House. They've been doing this for the past few years. Unfortunately, these actions get attention in the main, in the independent media, not so much in the major media, even though hundreds of people are usually arrested at these actions. If you'd like to join us, if you have any questions about the Mountain Valley Pipeline, what are your thoughts about what went on behind the scenes that the Democrats promised Senator Manchin inclusion of the language in a bill in exchange for his vote for the Inflation Reduction Act? This is according to the Washington Post. And then your thoughts overall about how the White House and President Biden is dealing with the climate crisis. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Jean Hsu is Energy Director of the Climate Law Institute at the Center for Biological Diversity. BJ McManama is campaign organizer with Save Our Roots with the Indigenous Environmental Network. Crystal Cavalier-Keck is co-founder of Seven Directions of Service, an Indigenous-led environmental justice and community organizing collective. Crystal is a member of the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation. One more point about the politics behind this. The Washington Post reports that the week-long scramble to boost the project began on May 23rd, a day when Republicans accused Biden of a lack of urgency in the debt talks. On that day, Equitrans CEO Thomas Karam met with staffers for Representative Carol Miller, a Republican from West Virginia, about including the provisions in the debt ceiling deal. That same day, Lance West, a lobbyist for the American Petroleum Institute and Joe Manchin's former chief of staff, also huddled with Miller staffers about the Mountain Valley project. Jean, the Center for Biological Diversity has sued many administrations over issues affecting climate and oil and gas. What are your thoughts about what we are learning about how this went down behind the scenes politically?
Yes, Rose, I think it's just extremely disturbing to see how this went down. There have been numerous articles, including Maxine Joslow's, which you raised up, that show a severe level of corruption. There are extreme backroom deals that are being made. And the Biden administration is not an innocent character in this. They negotiated directly with Leader McCarthy and other House Republicans to get the very raw deal that happened. You know, this is a debt ceiling deal. And I think for those who are not, and rightfully so, you know, involved in the intricacies of Congress, common sense with what a debt ceiling deal is that it deals with the country's debt. The country has deficits that it needs to pay back. And the whole deal is supposed to be about budget and how do we increase things or decrease things? How do we raise revenue or not? What's so disturbing about this deal is that the Mountain Valley Pipeline and environmental protections, rolling back food stamps, all of these things have nothing to do with the budget. These climate giveaways are exactly climate giveaways. It is the biggest pork in the pork barrel that we have here in politics, and it should not have been at all a part of these negotiations. I think that's the super kind of corrupt and disturbing part about this. All of these provisions that are ramming through the Mountain Valley Pipeline and really gutting environmental protections should never have been on the negotiation table for a deal that is supposed to be talking about our budget and dealing with our budget issues. This all rolls back into, you know, greater ideas about corruption within our system. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Tim Kaine and others who, you know, representatives and senators who, you know, whose homes and whose constituencies are directly affected by those giveaways in the deal, the fact that they weren't even consulted before this is atrocious. And we really need a lot more transparency and demand for more justice in these types of negotiations. This debt ceiling deal is emblematic of what's wrong in DC right now. And unfortunately, it is the same Black, Brown, Indigenous communities who are being thrown under the bus and sacrificed repeatedly in these deals.
What do you think about Senator Kaine saying the expedited permitting provision sets a bad precedent and Senator Merkley saying this agreement will limit the scope of environmental reviews for future developments?
Senators Kaine and Merkley are absolutely right, and they are really important voices right now in Congress that are actually telling the truth about what is in this bill. This Mountain Valley Pipeline set of provisions does a lot of severe damage and sets quite bad precedent. One is that, you know, it actually greenlights an entire climate killing project, obviously, and it legislates that into a statute. And the other really disturbing part about it is that, you know, Crystal and so many of Crystal's fellow community members have successfully stalled and stopped the Mountain Valley Pipeline in the courts. So the courts are, and the Fourth Circuit Court in particular, are an incredible kind of pillar of our democracy right now that looks at the law, looks at the illegality of the permits, and found that the Mountain Valley Pipeline is illegal. It didn't go through the right sets of assessments. And the Fourth Circuit Court has actually ruled in favor of Crystal and her fellow community members for years now to stop this Mountain Valley Pipeline. What this dirty deal did is that it totally sidelined the Fourth Circuit. It moves judicial review completely out of the Fourth Circuit and cuts off anybody's ability to actually challenge it based on our environmental laws. It now pretty much cuts off meaningful judicial review and limits it to the D.C. Circuit. And so it basically cuts out the judicial branch from challenging the Mountain Valley Pipeline. That's a severe attack on our democracy and the way that, you know, folks have challenged this Mountain Valley Pipeline successfully. It just green lights the ability for the corporations to keep on doing illegal actions and build out this pipeline for their profits and for the profiteering of senators.
Crystal, what about that? What are the options at this point?
Well, I just heard breaking news that the Wilderness Society, they actually filed a lawsuit today. Hold on, let me tell you, because I just tweeted about it, which was pretty cool. Let's see here. The Wilderness Society files two new cases against the Mountain Valley Pipeline to stop the desecration of the Jefferson National Forest. You know, our fight still continues, and we're going to still continue to fight this, MVP. You know, we believe in the movement, but now we have to educate everybody. We've been a proponent of relational organizing and letting everybody know that this affects everybody in the region, whether you are a directly impacted landowner or you're living beside someone who's directly impacted. And like Jean was saying, when you take out the judicial review, like, I just don't understand the separation of powers. Like, how are you as a Congress limiting the judicial powers? You know, that just seems like it goes against the whole establishment of the United States. And yeah, we're still going to continue to fight, and we're going to work with BJ and Indigenous Environmental Network, as well as other big green grass groups, Sierra Club. And we really hope that we can tie this up and reverse this thing that they caused, because I don't know if President Biden understands the repercussions of rolling back NEPA. You know, they've also rolled back the Clean Water Act. I mean, it is literally an attack on our climate. And, you know, we can't continue to do this to Mother Earth, our relatives, as well as ourselves. But yeah, we're going to continue to fight.
Crystal, I know we have to let you go. And just quickly before we do that, can you talk about the legislation, the debt deal, which also includes provisions to speed up infrastructure projects under NEPA? This is the landmark National Environmental Policy Act. Can you tell us how this is going to change things moving forward?
You know, we use NEPA as well as the environmental impact studies to help communities understand what was happening. And by speeding this up, that takes away the time the communities can respond back to the environmental impacts that's going to happen. So, for example, when the Mountain Valley Pipeline about 5 or 6 years ago, when they were going through the mountaintops and assessing which mountains were suitable for the pipeline, they came across several of our burial mounds, and they classified those as rock piles because they were like, there's no Indian people here. They all went on the Trail of Tears. There's nobody here. And we were like, no, we're here. Mm-hmm. At the time, the Monacans were just state recognized. They were not federally recognized. And because they were not federally recognized, the state of Virginia or the federal government was like, oh, there's no American Indians left here. Not mm-hmm. true. So we had to raise our voices and be like, no, this is what happened. There was the Cyan Sioux River tribe that was brought in to do an archaeological assessment, and they found out that these are Suwan ancestors that they were disturbing. But again, letting corporations do their own environmental impact study, they call them rock piles. And so that's what we're dealing with, is when you let corporations do their own environmental assessment, because they're not from this area. They don't know the history. They don't know what happened. And so just dangerous. And fast-tracking these projects using NEPA or not using NEPA, it's going to be a detriment, and we're going to continue to do these extractive and not really renewable energy sources. They're going to still continue to deplete the earth of its resources, and we're just going to continue to get further and further into this climate issue, and we just can't stand for that.
Crystal Cavalier-Keck is co-founder of Seven Directions of Service, an Indigenous-led environmental justice organization. She's a member of the Okanichi Band of Saponi Nation. BJ McNamina is campaign organizer for Save Our Roots with the Indigenous Environmental Network, and Jean Sue is with the Center for Biological Diversity. And I know you have to leave us in about 5 minutes, Jean. We're going to take a couple questions, and then we'll get your response. Let's go to Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg.
I want to confirm something. Tim Kaine did vote for the final bill, even though he
yes.
offered the amendment, which I
yes.
think was great, but he did vote.
He did, unfortunately. I thought that was kind of a sellout move, but he did.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is a sellout, a period, by the Democrats. And I just, you know, I knew Biden was going to sell out. I mean, you could just feel it coming. And the fact that they're crowing, the Democrats are crowing about this being a victory, is just insane. And I think it's going to get worse. And the real problem is this, and I feel for those people down in Appalachia, but the real problem is that, look, we have both a Democratic and a Republican Party who are on track to do the same thing. Their policies are not that different. They may be marginally different. But what does that mean for people in this country going forward with regard to choices? You've got Democrats who are going to support a Republican agenda, and here we are, stuck. I mean, it's almost like you're going to have to engage in the kind of things that water protectors did up in North Dakota and South Dakota. You can't rely on the politicians. So it's just a cop-out. And you know what? There's a lot of sleazy people in this, but Biden is the sleaziest of all of them.
Thank you, Greg. We'll get a response in a minute. Let's first go to Kevin in Gaskee in Northern California. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment that may seem tangential to the discussion, but it's something I've been thinking about quite a while. The opioid crisis, when it hit Appalachia, I always thought that it was the introduction of the OxyContin was a move to undermine the social, political, and economic efficacy of the people in the country, given the nature of extraction mining that's happened in that area. And it really reminded me of the same effort that occurred in African-American, Native, and Latino communities to undermine those communities as well. And with a large population being addicted to opioids, there's less of a voice available for people, and young people particularly, to stand up and have, you know, some type of voice and to be able to stop this type of thing that's happening. And I would just like your guest's comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's go to Jeff in Berkeley. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thank you for covering this subject. Let me make a couple of observations. This follows mountaintop removal in West Virginia, and there's something else going on in Alaska where the sockeye salmon use one particular river, a lot of them do, and they're going to open up mining on this. But let me back up on a couple of things. The hardcore Republican voter that follows without even knowing what the issues are, that is a strong block, is a horrible thing to deal with. But all of the people that are going to be put forth as presidential candidates by the Republican Party, they're terrible. You get DeSantis from Florida. I mean, he's the strongest, and he's probably the strongest guy to go against Biden. I look at Biden, and I think as a president, even though these things that you're mentioning right now are terrible, he's an excellent president. I'm sorry, but I'm looking at him from a standpoint of what the choice is on the other side. The only way you fight this is the way you people are doing it. Get them in the clinches, legally mount suits against them, try to get them at the ground level, and then push the legislature. Make what FDR said, make me do it.
Well, thank you for that, Jeff. It speaks to Greg's point about not having many choices. I know we have to let you leave, Gene. What are your thoughts about the role that people can play in all of this? I mean, doing this show, I'm thinking about the show we recently did about how more likely than not, the world will soon see 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming. It's going to happen within the next 6 years, according to the latest studies.
Absolutely, Rose. And thanks for everybody's observations there. Rose is absolutely right. We're actually in the throes of the climate emergency right now. Californians are not new to this. The increasing amount of wildfires, the drought that is now affecting the Colorado River and ultimately cutting off water resources for California. All of those are ways that Californians are experiencing the damages of the climate emergency. And we literally have only until the end of this decade to get it right in order to avoid the worst consequences of our climate emergency. I think in all of that, President Biden plays the pivotal role right now in the world to actually make a change. The United States is the number one oil and gas producer in the world, everyone, and they are on their way to being the top net exporter of gas and oil. That means that we are all in the extreme privileged position to be able to stop that, to stop new development and to phase out existing oil and gas, because it not only affects everybody in the United States and everybody in the pathway of pipelines and oil wells, but it also affects everybody else in the world who is consuming and combusting the dirty fossil fuels that the United States exports to. So I would just want to make a call for everybody to please, please, please be engaged with President Biden. He campaigned on a promise to stop the new development of fossil fuels and to phase out existing fossil fuels. He has not lived up to that promise. In fact, he has issued more fossil fuel permits than the Trump administration, and he has opened up vast amount of oil and gas reduction, including in the Alaska with the Willow Project of late, and now the Mountain Valley Pipeline. We need to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire and say, we need you to stop new development and to phase out our fossil fuels. And as Rose said in the beginning of this, everybody has an opportunity on June 8th, wherever you are, to participate in demonstrations across the country, telling President Biden that we need him to use his executive powers to phase out fossil fuels. And also in November, stay tuned, or in September, stay tuned. There's also going to be a mass mobilization in New York City to also bring these messages clear to the Biden administration and everyone in the country that everybody, the American public, wants real climate action. And that starts with stopping all new production of fossil fuels and phasing out our existing production.
Jean Hsu is Energy Director of the Climate Law Institute at the Center for Biological Diversity. Jean, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your work.
Thanks so much, Rose.
Thank you. We are going to take one more call, and then we'll get final responses from BJ and Crystal. Let's go to Kathleen in Santa Cruz. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. I'd like to address the Biden administration's, among their many betrayals on oil and gas promises, their actions. One of the largest actions is the largest emission of methane gas in history in the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which Cy Hirsch covered extensively and has been aired in Democracy Now! And many other alternative media, but hardly given any coverage in mainstream media.
All right. Thank you for that. I just want to take it back because we don't have much time. I want to take it back to the Mountain Valley Pipeline, although I know that it's related. BJ, for people who are, I'm guessing a lot of people did not really know much about the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Can you tell us a bit more about it? I mean, there's so much more to share here. Sam Rasool, a Democrat who represents Roanoke in the Virginia House of Delegates, said that the construction failures produced more than 350 violations of water quality protection requirements, resulted in legal action from the Attorney General. One project developer, Equitrans, has faced criminal investigations and fines in other states, including for a massive gas leak in Pennsylvania. I mean, what else can you tell us about this pipeline and what it has already done? And if it does go through, what are you expecting?
Well, I think I started to talk about that previously, but this pipeline, in especially in the southern part of West Virginia and across the border into Virginia, all the way down for several counties, our geology here is called karst, which is simply limestone caves and aquifers. And when they blast for this pipeline, because they have to blast to get it deep enough, that destroys, it crumbles the limestone underneath where they're blasting. And so people's water has been eliminated. In the eastern part of West Virginia, there is no major river, so they all depend on the aquifers. They all depend on, of course, there's a Green Bay River, but people out in the rural areas in their farms depend on the clean, crisp, and healthy spring water that is just below our feet. And a lot of it has been eliminated from people's lives, right?
Pipeline officials
and
say...
We talk about... Sorry,
we're almost out of time. I just want to make sure we get a few more facts in. Officials say the pipeline is 94% complete. Is that true?
No, it's not, because they have a lot of work that needs to be completed back up the line that they have not created. And Senator Manchin keeps complaining about all the court cases and all the scrutiny. Well, they wouldn't be in court if they weren't violating the law, if they weren't violating the agreement and the protections and the regulations that were already in place. And that's why, and the EIS and the studies and not following the law begin with. There should be some statute or codification that when we sign up as the people, or our politicians sign up as the people, in and, you know, permit these projects that the companies that are the project people, the companies, if they have these, this kind of a record, they can't work here in West Virginia. They can't work in the country because we can't trust them to hold our resources, our lives, and our future in any kind of regard. They don't care because most of the people that work on the pipelines, they're not from these areas. They don't care. This is our home. This is our where we've lived for generations. And all you have to do is look at the states out west, New Mexico, Colorado, California, where fracking has been going on for a lot longer and a lot more widespread. Is seems like it might be part of the reason for the drought and the wildfires. You know, it's just a guess, right? Mm-hmm. This has been coming all along. I mean, absolutely. And we have to fight back. We cannot continue on this path. So I'm going to let Crystal have the last word, but I really want to thank you for this time. There's a lot more, and there's a lot more connecting tissue to what's going on, to include the IRAs financing billions and billions of dollars for technology that does not work, that they say will create clean energy, carbon capture and storage. And that's a whole nother story. You might want to do a show on that.
Yes, definitely. So and I'm sorry we're out of time, but we'll definitely follow this issue. And also People Versus Fossil Fuels, a coalition of over 1,200 organizations working to end the era of fossil fuels, is going to protest the Mountain Valley Pipeline and just Biden's climate agenda in general on Thursday at the White House. BJ McManama is campaign organizer with Save Our Roots with the Indigenous Environmental Network. Crystal Cavalier-Keck is co-founder of Seven Directions of Service. BJ and Crystal, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your work. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.